Welcome to the Adam Rothstein Hockey Podcast. This is your podcast for all things hockey. On this podcast, we talk about past history to the modern day and what you can do to grow the sport. I am your host, Adam Rothstein. All right, let's get to the show. Welcome in, everyone. We had a great weekend in hockey. The Florida Panthers pummeled the Edmonton Oilers on Saturday. The Capitals won in a shootout on Sunday thanks to Evgeny Kuznetsov, and we've got a lot to talk about. Let's get into it. All right, so the one game I did want to really stress on was definitely the Panthers and the Oilers, and the Oilers still losing the game 5-1. Now, everyone says that they're coming back, but I'm still seeing the possibility that they're just going to lose the opportunity to go to the playoffs. They're not going to make it to the playoffs. That's my hot take right now. And it's definitely not the thing, you know, you expect your top two guys to really dominate and just do their thing, you know, but you can't always expect your greatness from McDavid and Draisaitl. Barkov was great in there. Carter Verhaeghe was great in the Panthers game, and I mean, just being a slight Panthers fan, not the diehard Panthers fan. I mean, like, they're still fun to watch too. So this team, the Edmonton Oilers, the 2023-2024 Edmonton Oilers, can still be figured out, and it's because of that that I'm still not convinced of, you know, their performance and everything. So there's that. Let's see here. Where did they go? Okay. So we've got a lot. Mr. McDavid gets his 30th assist on the year, but and you have Mr. Fudge Nugent Hopkins getting an assist on that only goal by Hyman, and that was the only goal that was scored by the Oilers on Saturday. Now, they still had an even number of shots in this game, and they still won 65% of the faceoffs, but yet they failed to get any power play goals. They were 0-2 on this, and they took and this was actually only, there was only 14 minutes of penalty minutes, but the Oilers got the majority of that, and they even had the majority of hits too, which still doesn't make sense, and the block shots were even at 14. Shots on goal, Panthers dominated that through most of the time, but in the first two periods, they didn't dominate. They just had more shots in the first period. Tied it in the second period. It was even at 14. And the Oilers had the slight advantage at the end with 13 over the 10 for the Panthers. And it wound up being 39 each, which is pretty low. It's lower than I would expect it between these two teams. That there was only going to be 78 shots total. So that's still a little low for me, because I thought we'd get to 90 between those two teams, but that's just something else. So what happens if the Oilers just don't get in to the playoffs this time? I think, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl will definitely want to probably go down south of the border, personally, if they want to get a ring. And I've said this before. They should go to Boston. They should, maybe they should go to Pittsburgh and try and make a last dance effort with the Penguins. And maybe Crosby can give them a few pointers. I don't think they'll come to DC. There's no reason why they would want to. That 2018 Cup run was just more of a fluke than anything else, because we were not in the era of 32 yet, and the expansion team just got lucky too, if they faced as well. So I will always just have to just hold, you know, that over the Capitals' heads because of everything. And this is coming from a Capitals fan too, as well. But I don't think I don't think Draisaitl and McDavid are going to DC. Would they go to Florida? Maybe they would. That Florida sunshine does them wonders too. Or they certainly are not going to go to San Jose. I promise you on that. They will not go to San Jose. The Sharks don't have the money, and even if they did, they will not be shelling that out, and they do not want to go to an area that where the Sharks just where, you know, hockey is not the primary sport. So there's that. It's not, the Bay Area is more focused on football, baseball, and basketball than hockey, personally. So there's that. It would be a real shame if neither Draisaitl or McDavid even got to the finals. Now, they could be the Marcel Dions of their generation, which, Marcel Dion, great hockey player, one of the best to ever do it, over 1,700 points, and he just never had a ring at all. He never really got there because of the, even the 82 Canucks definitely steamrolled them. Didn't really win a whole lot of playoff series, whether it was with the Kings, Rangers, whoever, and didn't really do that. But I think they really need to start looking at areas south of the border, New York. McDavid and Draisaitl should look at New York, whether that's the Islanders or the Rangers. Boston, they should look at. Philadelphia, I think it's just that they're just not set yet. They're not as set as most people would like to be. They have certainly gone up in the standings right now, but I don't see Philadelphia winning this cup on this run. Just my personal opinion as well. They could go to Detroit too. I think Dylan Larkin would be happy to have them, and with Patrick Kane to their addition, they'd be a super team if they had Larkin, Kane, Draisaitl, and McDavid all on that team. They'd be unstoppable too. But Detroit doesn't have the money, and I've always joked about Detroit City on this podcast, so there's that. Evgeny Kuznetsov in the game on Sunday decided to win it for the Capitals. Now, guess who did not have any goals for this game? Yes, Alex Ovechkin did not have any goals. And now the conversation that we need to have is he going to get to, is he going to beat Wayne Gretzky, let alone even get to 900? I think he's playing hurt. I think he's playing injured. I think that he is just not as set as he once was, you know, And when you come off a 40-plus goal season and you're performing like this, you know, I mean, it baffles the mind, too. I don't think I want to see him get a hat trick this season, and I'm even doubting that. If he gets a multi, if he gets a two-goal game, you know, do I think he's going to do well? I think he'll, will he get to even 30 this year? I don't even know if he's going to get to 30 at this point because he's just scoring so low. And Bedard, having his, you know, 12 goals this year, and he's at like 25 points this season. You know, he's making Alex Ovechkin's rookie numbers. You know, he's giving his rookie numbers a run for his money, too. But I think that he is, you know, if he's 37, 38, and he'll be 39 soon, rather. But, you know, if he's playing hurt and if he can't make it past 40, he's definitely not going to beat Gretzky, I'll tell you that much. But I think he would want to stay into 42 until he hits 900, if he's able to, because be as well. Now, another thing that I think has certainly affected his play is knowing that, you know, his partner in crime, Nicholas Backstrom, is not there. If there was anyone who had more Alexander Ovechkin goals assisted, or was assisting Alex Ovechkin's goals, it's Nicholas Backstrom. But he's, you know, he's done. He's, you know, he had a good run. I don't know if he'll get into the Hall of Fame immediately, but he's going to be, you know, they'll retire his number for the Washington Capitals. He's got a ring, not counting his wedding ring. He will be remembered too. But not having your ace definitely affects you. And, you know, and Crosby is performing better with Letang and Malkin with his partners in crime when he basically developed with them and they stayed together throughout the whole time too. And even Ovechkin and Backstrom stayed together throughout the whole time. The only difference with Backstrom is that he came into the Capitals organization a little later. And you know, but he just thrived with Backstrom this whole time. From, like, Joe Beninati, the announcer of the Washington Capitals, like that was like his phrase. Like, that was like his catchphrase on Comcast Sports Network or NBC Sports Network, whatever the local channel is now for DC now. But like every time I watch Comcast Sports Center, or Comcast Sportsnet, excuse me, it was, you know, from Backstrom, you know, or like Semin to Backstrom to Ovechkin, he scores. Like, it, like that was like on, like he was like doing, like it was almost like you could put a audio recording over and just replay it, because that it happened so often too. It happened like that was like the catchphrase too of Joe Beninati back in the day. And I just, you know, and I just liked hearing that all the time, because you knew something was going to go, the puck was going to go into the net. And now that's not even available anymore. But the crazy part is Joe Beninati and Greg Laughlin are still there. They are still calling the Capitals games on television. I don't even know who's doing the radio anymore, but there's that too. But Ovechkin is just, you know, there are definitely things, factors with athletes in other sports that definitely affect them and say, oh no, he could have done that had this thing happened. And there are definitely some circumstances that put people out of commission, whether that's injuries or blown calls or death of a family member, which that I think that certainly did not help. And it was not good for, you know, him. And he definitely, and you could see he was struggling after that. And, you know, of course, you're not going to be at your best. But, you know, we miss Ovechkin, Mr. Ovechkin, his father, dearly, for that organization. Because he brought a light to games and was definitely a good factor in that organization as well, in the Capitals organization. I don't know. I think Ovechkin really wants it too, and to beat that record too is, will we see Bedard do it if Ovechkin doesn't do it? Maybe. He's at 21 goals now. I think he's at 21 goals. I could be. Or, I'm sorry, 12 goals now, total, and Bedard could get maybe 35, 40 goals, too, as well. But I think that Ovechkin, if he had only 600 goals at this point, and he was like 200 goals less, I think he would be looking to retire at this point, because you could say, I'm done. I've done my due diligence. I've got a cup. I've done all I can do. And that's there. But I think he definitely really wants to give it a shot. But will he be able to make it to 42 years old? I don't know. So I guess we'll just have to keep watching and just speculating on what's going to happen until, he either retires or he crosses the 900 goal line, personally. Over the weekend, again, Sunday was a good day if you were watching the NHL Network. It was a good game between the Canucks and the Blackhawks. Now, what disappointed me here is that the Blackhawks lost this game 4-3. I really wanted to see the Blackhawks beat them, and especially with the Canucks coming off a bad break from Minnesota, you'd think, the Blackhawks would, pummel down their throat. And it did seem that they could have won this game. I mean, Nick Foligno got the first goal, but, the Canucks figured them out towards the second period and then at the third, and then they just edged it out 4-3. And you can't necessarily know off the bat how it's going to play out. I mean, you go in there and you expect to win and everything, but even though the team is developing and you have veterans, you have Nick Foligno on there and Mr. Johnson on there, you definitely can, and no longer Corey Perry, you definitely can build a franchise with Bedzy as well, and then he'll take over. He'll eventually become the captain, and then they'll draft some new guy, and then you're off to the races, and you can build a dynasty that way. So Nick Foligno opens the score. Then Mr. Pettersson decides to say, no, we will not do that. Second period opens, and still the Blackhawks go back on top 2-1. And Mr. Joshua, Dakota Joshua, ties it at 2. Then Brock Besner gets Besner gets it 3-2. And Ilya Mikheyev gets it. It's 4-2. Then Cole Gutman gets his second goal of the year, and Bedard gets his 14th assist. So he's got that there. Shots on goal. Again, I mean, you're really just seeing so much here. The Blackhawks actually had more shots on goal, but they lose the faceoffs, and they still had more, scored more on their power play than 25% of the Canucks. But I think they need to just sell down. Their power play is 31st in the league, and they've got and they still just really need to be working on that, and they could have had 3 out of 4, and we'd be having a different conversation right about now. So 23 penalty minutes for the Canucks and only 13 for the Blackhawks, and the hits were even at 10, blocked shots 15, And the Canucks only had 8. I really do want to say that I want to see, I would like to see both of these teams win the Stanley Cup at some point. And certainly if the Canucks win the Stanley Cup, you know, Canada has their first ring for the first time in potentially 30 years and 30 plus years, it'll be 31 because 93 and then 2024 is the June of 2024 is when we crown the winner. So will we even see a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup Finals? Potentially. So there's that. So I covered a lot today in this shorter amount of time of 20 plus minutes. But yeah, we've got a big lead. This has been a very interesting year for hockey, all that stuff. A lot of injuries, a lot of weird stats, and a lot of and some bad teams, and the Sharks really stinking up the place at the very beginning of this season. But that'll do it for this episode of the Adam Rothstein Hockey Podcast. All right, let me know what you think of this episode. Definitely share this with your friends. Rate this 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to me on YouTube. Check out the links in the description/show notes. And I will talk to you all in the next episode.